Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
The baseball season is way too long.
The game is way too slow.
It's so boring to watch.
Shut up. Get your peanuts, Cracker Jacks, and IPAs ready. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
Swing and a long drive, deep to right.
Covering all things baseball.
Going, going.
The big leagues.
Going, going.
And the MLB to Portland.
Goodbye! He has done it! He has changed the game of the night with one swing of his bat!
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Mike Lynch on 1080.
Bang! Zoom! Go the fireworks!
The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for It Must Be a Wednesday, as it's always a Wednesday here on the beautiful poop-filled Willamette.
I literally just untangled my headphones and they're tangled again.
Yeah, I know.
There we go.
Are you ever going to go earbuds?
Hi.
You ever going to go
like AirPods?
The AirPods?
I will never go AirPods. I think they look really stupid and are way too small and I would lose them.
It looks so dumb.
I know. It's become a fashion.
I'm an Apple kid too.
It's become a fashion trend and I don't understand it.
You know what makes me feel better about those every time I see them?
Mm.
We've all seen There's Something About Mary, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And so as soon as I remember that scene, I'm like, all right, those are stupid.
That's what came to your head, because you're totally right, Joe.
Yeah.
That's 100% what it looks like.
My wife has the Bose wireless, and those are pretty cool looking. And she uses them, and now she swears by them. I don't know. I don't have any issues with wires.
I don't either.
Like, she all of a sudden, now that she's experienced wireless headphones.
Well, she's all in, like, design.
Well,
and,
I know.
You know, and how it looks, the aesthetic.
She forgot them
Kelsey,
one day.
Kelsey, if you're listening, I know you're not, but you're totally into that.
Yeah, she's not listening. Probably for good reason. But she forgot her wireless headphones one day, or they were dead. And she used her regular wired headphones at the gym, and she came home and she was like, how did I ever used to do this? And I was like, I don't know. You tucked them into your shirt and it was fine. And she's like, no, now they're wrapping around the elliptical and I can't get them out of my way. And I'm like, what happened?
I would pay good money.
Are you a human being who knows how to do things?
I would pay good money to see her with those on the elliptical, because it sounds like a Snuggie commercial. Like, are you tired of your blanket getting in the way? And the ball of popcorn falls on the ground and the phone rings and everything freaks out and you can't get out of the blanket. It's like one of those things. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous that, oh man, I can't use my headphones. How come? Why can't you use your headphones? Oh, they're dead. Wait, your headphones are dead? I'm super confused right now.
The cool thing with the Bose ones, not to pimp Bose too much, wink, but the reason I said that is Joe works
there.
Hashtag Team Bose.
Yeah. is that they have this case that you charge, and the headphone, and that holds a charge for X amount of time, so you can just put the headphones in the case.
The AirPods are the same way.
Is it?
Yeah. They got a little case that you charge the case, and they charge.
Well,
them as
I
you
don't
put
know
in.
Things.
No, I'm just, I'm not. But jeez, you know, Mike, I'm not bagging on you. I'm just
it sounds
you.
Like you're bagging on me.
Just to kind of go off Patrick's point, so it's like, if my headphones are dead. Oh, my case is dead too. Then you have like two things you have to be responsible
for. Porque?
And the completely wireless headphones each have their own batteries. So you basically have like three batteries that you have to maintain.
Yeah, that's a lot of batteries.
Well, this one's at 70, this one's at 25.
And the battery in the right ear gets bad first. So all of a sudden one ear goes out earlier than the other ear.
Dude, if your headphones die and then your headphone case dies and then your phone dies, you might as well just swallow a bullet and call it the day, right?
Wow. I do agree.
Oh, now I've gone too far. Oh, okay. Everybody's about to walk out of the studio right now and jump into the poop-filled Willamette, and I'm the bad guy now.
The imagery behind it. You could have just said, under all those circumstances, go jump in the Willamette at that point.
I think
everybody's just a hater.
That's equal.
I think the kindest way to say that without making it sound awful is like jump off a bridge. Right? Because if you say
the city of bridges,
if you say kill yourself, that sounds awful.
It does. I keep thinking
but swallowing a bullet also sounds awful.
It comes to my head because it
reminds
me.
Jump off a bridge if you'd like to use that as part
of the go play in traffic. Is that the one?
Yeah, go play in traffic. It just reminds me of that scene in Vegas Vacation, which is a really terrible movie, but there's that great scene.
That's one of the worst, if not the worst, vacations.
With the actor who...
It is the worst vacation.
It's the actor, and his name escapes me, but he's in The Princess Bride. And he's
Chevy Chase.
Not Chevy Chase. He's in The Princess Bride, and he's the blackjack dealer. And Chevy Chase is like drunk on losing, and he's got this chip for $5. He's like, what can I do for $5? And the blackjack dealer goes, well, you could buy a bullet... and rent a gun.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that line.
It's so great.
That's awful.
I think it's an awesome line. And I don't know. I guess.
In the theme of the movie, that's probably very funny. But in this conversation, I'm like, oh, no.
Everybody hates me.
What is happening?
Everybody hates me. Everybody just assumes I'm some bad person. Like, I heard, I got a bunch of text messages yesterday from people. Okay? I'm at work. You know, I'm rocking the bar. We're doing the thing. And
Wallace Shawn. That's the actor.
There you go. Thank you.
Inconceivable.
Thank you. I'm getting these text messages yesterday that apparently on primetime, you guys decided that I was the biggest stoner of everyone that works here.
We said that you were one of the options for the weed guy of the station. We were discussing weed guys of the station, there are not a lot.
Define weed guy.
Well, weed guy would be a person who regularly... partakes in the weed, as Stephen A. Smith would say.
In the crondizzle.
We were kind of listening, going through the staff, and, you know, I said, I'll have an edible every once in a while, but it's not over the top. And then they were mentioning other people, and then both, actually, you and Joe, came up as being weed guys.
I guess
our definitive answer was Patrick and Joe were the weed guys of the station.
I am offended. I will go first, and then I will turn over to my good friend Joe Fisher, the third. Friends with Joe Fisher II.
Who just put his eyes up like, yeah, am I offended?
Friends with Joe Fisher II, good guy. I am slightly offended as I do not smoke a lot of weed. I just don't. Like, sure, I got some in the house. I mean, it's 2019. I'm not a savage. You know, but I'm not an everyday smoker. I mean, sometimes I go like 2 weeks without smoking. Like, I might be able to pass a drug test right now. Well, that's not true. I did see the dead a couple weeks ago. If you want to be like, oh, who's the town drunk? Patrick. I'd be like, that might be okay. I might be okay with that. But the weed, man, I don't do a ton of the weed. I do like it, though, but I don't know.
Have you always been inconsistent, or have you mellowed out as you've gotten older?
Oh, it's an old man thing.
Okay.
It's definitely an old man
thing. So you used to be weed guy, and now you're not sure that you're weed guy anymore.
Oh, I went to the mighty Washington State University. I lived across the street from Clay Thompson. You tell me, did we smoke weed?
I would assume so.
Go Cougs.
Not a lot to do in those cornfields up there in the Palouse. A
lot of drinking, a lot of smoking.
Although Joe Fish.
A lot of straight West Coasting.
Joe Fish went to Oregon, so you could also say the same thing.
Oh, those amateurs down there.
Oh, yeah. Amateurs.
Oh, yeah. You guys are so cute. You're like, oh, my God, we know how to party and smoke weed. And we're like, uh-huh, cool. See you guys.
Don't get me started.
What is this, 5 years in a row now?
You wish you would have seen much.
You're using football as
damn right.
An argument for that?
Because my football team is sober and so is theirs.
Hey, I don't know if you heard about Colt Haerla today, but he's making a good point here.
Yeah, it's kind of sad now. Yeah. Are you going to defend yourself?
Are you going to defend yourself, Joe? Or are you just going to be like,
what are you talking about?
Me.
I don't smoke weed or
that's
do any
me.
Of that. Get
Signed
out of here.
It
with
up.
That. I say that for the FCC. I do not partake in any of that at all, okay?
Okay.
It's actually a really funny thing. Like, when I was younger, I don't endorse it either.
You.
You know, wink three times to say yes.
Are you in danger? Wink now.
But then you forget how many times you're supposed to wink, and so you just keep winking.
Because you're high, yeah.
I will admit, when I was younger, I mean, especially in college, yeah, I used to smoke all the time, and then got out of school and all that stuff, and you smoke every night or every weekend when you're out with friends, and now, I mean, it's really an every once in a while thing.
I
think it's because it's legal.
Yeah.
I have, like, a giant jar of like, weed at my house that I just don't even smoke.
You're like,
it's just, like, sitting there.
There's no edge anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, it's there. We can smoke. We can get high whenever you want. You guys want to get high right now? Who wants me to roll a joint? Anybody? No, I'm good.
Right.
Yeah. I don't care as much anymore.
Make some edibles. Share them with Michael over there.
Yeah, that's true.
Have a grand old time.
I really want to learn how to make peanut butter cups.
I love peanut butter cups.
The only problem is if you make peanut butter cups and then you get high, you start eating peanut butter cups, and those aren't the peanut butter cups you want to, like, munch on.
Mm. Oh, I see what you're saying, because that just gets you more high.
Keep going, and then it's, like, Thursday, and you fell asleep on Monday.
Yeah. Yep, don't want to do that.
Oakley doakley, we got a great show lined up for you guys today. We got Fair or Foul coming up at 8:30 tonight, as we always do. Some fun things going on. I want to get into the National League East, which has become very interesting over the last few weeks. We'll get into that as well.
Braves-Mets was a good game today.
Also, there is a David Ortiz update. I want to laugh and poke fun at one of my favorite guys to laugh and poke fun at. That would be Max Scherzer. So we got a lot to get into. And Mike read a cool article today that's probably going to stir up some debate. We'll get to that as far as home runs go at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. You can always reach out to us on the Better You Today text line 55305. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. You can also find us on social media. Mike is at MikeLynch27 on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram at PDD085. There's also our fantastic producer, as you heard, Mr. Joe Fisher, on Twitter at JoeFish3. That's FISCH. Also, Beers on Us podcast will drop tomorrow. That is a wrap-up of Portland Beer Week. You can download that wherever you get your podcasts. We'll have that ready for you around 4 p.m. All right, when we come back, I got to do this. It's funny. It's silly. It's not headline news, but I got to talk about Max Scherzer. This stuff just makes me giggle, and I think it's so fun. So we'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
You're getting it, man. I love that smell of the gas station. You know what doesn't smell nice, though? Burnt metal, like cutting metal. That doesn't smell nice.
I'm sure I've smelled it, but I don't know what that smells like by you saying that.
Sorry, we just came in on we were talking about hops.
We were.
Talking about the Simcoe hop. If you like Simcoe hops, if you don't like Simcoe hops, check out the Beers on Us podcast. You can download it wherever you like. Is that Robinson Cano playing baseball?
Yeah, he's back.
Holy goodness.
When they put Syndergaard in the IL...
I'm saying DL. I don't care.
He got reactivated, so.
Ah. I see.
But they're losing 7-2. So.
Are you saying DL because it takes you back to a better time when there weren't a bunch of Indians pitchers on it?
No.
Hey, Clevenger's coming back.
Clev is back.
Is back.
He pitched on Monday.
How'd he pitch?
Not very well. Plus, he twisted his ankle. But you assume that. I know. He, like, took a step forward, throw a pitch, and he turned his ankle. He kept pitching. I mean, he pitched like 4 1/3. He gave up a few runs. Whatever. It's to be expected. I did change the name of one of my fantasy teams.
Everybody's dead.
Yeah. The arms are falling off.
Yeah. It's Mike and I's local league. It's not our keeper league, which is turning into a keeper league, but it's the local league that Mike joined this year, Baseball Tonight, as we call it. It's a bunch of Portland and Vancouver kids.
Super creative name.
I changed my team name to Everyone is Dead because Mitch Haniger still plays every day in the outfield, even though he's on the DL, because I have people that I can't drop and I have no more DL spots because George Springer, Carlos Correa, AJ Pollock, Jameson Taillon, and Dave Robertson, who is literally the only chance of a closer I have.
And it's been out since like the third day of the season.
So I'm not dropping him. That doesn't include German from the Yankees, who is on the DL.
Herman.
And Mitch Haniger, who I refuse to drop other people.
Whoa.
An on-air sneeze. That doesn't happen very often. I'm okay. Just got to let the demons out.
Fantasy baseball has been incredibly frustrating this year.
I'm in last place in both our leagues, Mike. So
right now you are in third to last in Berkshire.
Oh, really?
Yeah. According to the live standings. And I have dropped from first, which is where I was at the end of the first month, to eighth.
It probably helps that I had five guys starting today.
That does probably help.
Yeah. And Max Fried looks like he did well today.
He did, but I have him in that league. So.
Oh, you do? Oh, I got him in the other league. I hate fantasy baseball. Anyway, speaking of people that pitched today, Max Scherzer threw today, which I think was a little surprising to some people. I think a little people thought he'd take a little stint on the disabled list, as I'm going to continue to call it.
You don't need that when all you can pitch with his injury.
Yeah, apparently he was. The video is really funny. If you haven't seen the video, go check it out. Max Scherzer, who I love to pile on, despite being easily a top five pitcher in baseball.
He's amazing.
I mean, he is absolutely fantastic. His Tiger days, as an Indians kid, I'm just never going to get over it. Anyway, he's taking some easy bunting BP, basically, where he's just kind of like leading the bat to the ball and just kind of putting in different sides. Well, he catches it on a spot and it pops up and blasts him in the face, hits him in the nose, knocks his sunglasses off, breaks his nose, and says, oh, don't worry, I'll be pitching. Pitch today. I watched about the first four innings of that game today. He looked like he was pitching really well, but literally his right eyeball is black and purple.
Yeah, it changed to three different colors.
Well, it's
not
his eyeball, but it's the socket around his eye.
Well, his eyeballs are different colors, but
so are his eye sockets.
Yeah. His eye socket changed to three different colors in this game, and at the end of his performance, it was deep purple, and that was intentional. Really, really, really purple. And it looked like his eye was kind of sewn shut.
Yeah.
So he basically pitched a 7-inning shutout, 10 strikeouts.
Oh, is that his final line?
Yeah, they won 2-0. He went 7 innings, 10 Ks. I don't have it right in front of me, but only had a .86 whip. So he didn't give up a lot of hits or walks. And he did that with one eye, basically.
I'm not going to lie. This makes me like Max Scherzer.
It's really badass.
It's super badass.
I know it's just a broken nose, and like, yeah, I think any pitcher could probably pitch through that. But the fact that he pitched as well as he did, when he's kind of been having an off and on season, he's like, you know what? F it. Broken nose, I'm going to dominate the Phillies.
Well, two walks, four hits, 117 pitches.
Against the Phillies, that's an interdivisional matchup, and we're going to get into the National League East in a little bit.
And
the
Phillies have a really good lineup.
Yeah, and they've got a really hard-hitting lineup, smart guys in that. And I was at Bridgetown Beer House earlier today, and I turned the game on in like the first inning or the second inning because I was like, I don't really want to watch Nationals-Phillies because Nationals are kind of out of it. And, you know, the Indians are about to start. And I knew my Red Sox buddy was going to come in and want to watch Red Sox-Twins, which is probably the best game on TV right now. But it was like, I got to turn this on because I really want to see Max Scherzer's face, which I usually don't want to see it because I usually hate his face.
Right.
But we put it on and we were watching it. And then we got into like the third inning or the fourth inning. And I go, I bet you he goes 8 innings with 14 Ks.
You
just
close.
Like looking at him and knowing him, like I don't want to slurp him too much by any means because I am so excited to slurp up my favorite pitcher in baseball. That's Jacob DeGrom. And we can talk
now
about
it's Max Scherzer.
We can talk about his performance yesterday if you really want to.
He's back on track.
But I knew Max Scherzer. He's such a competitor and he's so fiery that I knew that it's like I think the average pitcher. That happens to them yesterday, they probably delay their start today and pitch tomorrow. You know what I mean? They're like, just give me a day and then we'll go. To Max is like, let's do this.
It's his day to pitch.
Oh, and it's the Phillies? Oh, you are not. Martinez, coach, skip, I am not coming out of
Captain.
This game. And what do you know? 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 walks, no runs.
10 Ks.
10 Ks? That's no, badass.
One eye. No nose.
My buddy Colin said to me, he goes, because I was talking about why I don't like him. Because I was like, I just don't like his face. I don't like the way he looks. And he goes, yeah, he's got two different eyes. Now he's got two different color eye sockets. And I was like, oh, man, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hate on the guy for
it's
that.
It's really cool.
It's really cool.
I've always liked Max Scherzer, although I understand why you would dislike him, because he does kind of have this angry personality where it just looks like he wants to murder everybody. And that's kind of hard to root for unless you're rooting for the dominance of it, which I tend to do.
Right.
But, yeah, I just like him because he's good.
Well, it started with me because he was a Tiger. And he used to dominate us. And so that was when I was like, oh, I hate this guy. Like Verlander was the same way. It's like, dang it. This guy just kicks our butt every day. And then it's like he left Detroit, got to D.C., where he seemed to be more in the spotlight, but he also got better. So obviously he was more in the spotlight. They were getting in the playoffs every year. He was their game one starter every year. Da-da-da-da-da. People had World Series aspirations for the team. And he's just such a competitor, and his face is just so intense that I eventually just started to hate the dude. You know, go. I hate your face.
Then it's the arbitrary Patrick Harris decision to hate things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no reason. There's no reason. It's just like he's a jerk, and he's arrogant, and I don't like him. No other reason. He's a fantastic pitcher.
He's really good.
We had a conversation today. If you dislike Max Scherzer, do you punch him in his good eye to give him a matching black eye, or do you double the damage and punch him in his bad eye?
I think you would double the damage and punch him in his bad eye.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because everyone at the bar was like, oh, no, we're totally going to give him matching eyes.
No, because then it's symmetrical and it's fine. It's going to hurt more if you punch him in the bad eye. If you actually want to punch him because you hate him and you want to do more damage, as sinister as this sounds,
mm-hmm.
you punch him in the bad eye.
That's what I was thinking too, but I was in the minority, so I got scared.
It's like in the football piles. You always hear, they always go after the injuries, right? They'll like mm-hmm. jab at him and stuff. Yeah. Because it hurts more.
We see it in wrestling too.
Yeah.
Oh, his leg's bad. He's going after that bad leg.
Mm-hmm.
That's not real though.
That's what you would do. That's Max Scherzer.
My phone literally just buzzed me a notification from Bleacher Report that says, Scherzer puts on a show. Even with a black eye, Max Scherzer tosses 7 shutout innings with 10 Ks to beat Phillies.
They also put the sick emoji.
They did put the sick emoji.
Yeah.
I wish it was like a sick, nasty emoji, but it's like Dr. Sick. That's lame.
Patrick, that was the most millennial dad joke of all time, because you're talking about emojis, but then you said sick, nasty.
Yeah,
as
dude.
If that's gonna be able to be told in one emoji.
Oh, well, they should find an emoji that says sick, nasty.
Oh, just the words?
No, like, it should be a face that represents sick, nasty.
How would you represent that?
I don't know, man. I'm a dad. I don't know. Give it to some kids, you know. You know, where's Morgan? Morgan's got to be running around here. She's probably got to know how to make
yeah,
sick,
she'll be
nasty
like, sick,
into an emoji.
Nasty. What does
she'll
that
like,
mean?
What's that? That's stupid.
Yeah.
Like, are you really? Are you violently ill?
Wait, you're saying that sick and nasty can mean a good thing?
Are you violently ill? Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's nasty.
I don't know. Although it did get me thinking today that the Tigers used to have a rotation of Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, and Rick Porcello.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, they did. Didn't they have another really good pitcher on that team, too?
The kid who got the imperfect game. Oh, they had Anibal Sanchez and the kid who had the imperfect game.
Did you say sick nasty?
Sick nasty.
You did say sick nasty.
Charlie Blackman's nickname is Chuck Nasty.
That makes sense.
His Twitter handle is Chuck_nasty with a Z.
He is Chuck.
Chuck Nasty.
Nasty.
He is super nasty.
So that's
right now.
Word ending in CK, like sick, and then followed
sick,
up
nasty.
By nasty.
Sick nasty. All right, when we come back, we got some news on David Ortiz that we'll get into. We'll get to that next. This is the Hot Corner on Portland Sports Leader. But first, there's my man Joe with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
.734 here on The Fan. Mike and I diving into some fantasy deals over here.
See, I made an offer to somebody else in the league with a comment in it that had a bunch of stipulations. Like, hey, it's just a preliminary offer. Like, please let me know what you're thinking.
Just a heads up.
Just rejected. No comment back.
Well, you got Shane Bieber, too.
I was like, really?
You got the Biebs too?
I do. Like I said, I have a lot of young keepable options. I have too many for myself to keep, so I'd be willing to move some for certain players.
Michael Lynch wants Jacob DeGrom from me because he says his pitching staff is too volatile, yet he's got Max Fried, Max Scherzer, Shane Bieber, and Luis Severino, and Jose Quintana, and he needs Jacob DeGrom.
Look at my pitching stats. They're not good.
I suppose that's fair.
I'm looking at my team and going, this is a good team.
But wins is still a category in our league, which is so dumb. And welcome to owning Max Scherzer this year in why wins is stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like if you own Max Scherzer in leagues previous and you had wins, you're like, whatever, I don't care. Scherzer's going to have 18, 19 wins. But this year, the Nationals are so bad. So bad. That he has to hit himself in the face to get a W.
Yeah. I am in eighth in wins, sixth in strikeouts, sixth in ERA, fifth in whip, or seventh in whip, and sixth in Ks through nine. I know my team looks good, but I need help. It's just that simple.
My team is super bad. I mean, I'm in second in quality starts. Third in quality starts.
I'm in second in quality starts.
Third in quality starts.
Which doesn't make any sense. I'm in second in quality starts and everything else sucks. Stupid.
Dude, my team is so bad. Carlos Correa and AJ Pollock. Carlos Correa was a keeper that may no longer be a keeper.
I wouldn't go that far.
But I mean, dude, that's what I built my team around.
I wouldn't go that far.
I built my team around Carlos Correa.
Did you notice that someone in our league dropped Michael Chavis? I added him.
Who in the world did that?
I don't know. He was on waivers too, and I got him. I was shocked.
Why was I not paying attention?
I also added Joey Votto when someone dropped him, and he's been raking since then. I don't know what's going on.
My shortstop and second baseman are Matt Carpenter and Marco Simeon. Thank God we don't have defensive stats.
Right.
I don't know what to do. Anybody want Anthony Rendon? Anybody?
Not really.
Anybody? He's killing it. He's going to be a Yankee too. Anybody want him? Anybody? Nope. Nobody?
I'm good.
Cool.
I don't know.
In both of my fantasy leagues, I don't have a catcher.
Well, I'm willing to give you Mejia or Chan Sisko if you'd like.
No, I don't. As an Indians fan, we had Mejia. And Brad Hand is going to get us like a bunch of prospects from someone else. So thanks.
All right. You want to talk some David Ortiz before we
spend
the whole segment on our own fantasy teams?
I want to talk about who wants Jose Abreu. Everyone's for sale. The fact that Mike was like, Mike was even calmly like, hey, man, are you, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't mean to pressure you. Like, I mean, I don't mean to bring up like sensitive subjects, but do you think maybe, I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, like, you could say no, but do you think, I mean, again, I don't mean to offend you, but do you think you might be willing to trade Jacob DeGrom?
And you were like, yeah, man.
Yeah, dude. I have to trade anybody.
And I was like, oh, really? I've got a ton of really good young players. There you go. You want some?
Because my two cornerstones in my team, Carlos Correa, who's been on the DL since June of 2018, and Jacob DeGrom are what my team's built around. And Correa can't swing a baseball bat.
No, but DeGrom turned it around.
And DeGrom's great. I don't want to leave him. I like him.
But you need players. Keepable players.
He's my favorite. I am so excited to slurp up my favorite pitcher in baseball.
I just like him so much. Sometimes you have to learn to say goodbye.
I don't want to. I like how like the Mets suck and they're like, oh, they might have to think about trading Syndergaard. And it's like, or you could trade DeGrom and get the world.
Syndergaard kind of sucks right now.
You know what I mean? It's like, who is running that place? It's like, Mets might need to pack it in. And it's like, DeGrom is not going to be good by the time you're good. Maybe you should trade DeGrom. Anyway, there was some new news out of the Dominican Republic based on David Ortiz. And I don't even know why we're following this story, but I think this story is so ridiculous.
It is a crazy story.
That it's totally worth talking about. And the Dominican Republic authorities have found the motive based around why David Ortiz was shot. And I don't know. How many motives can I give you before you would get to this one as legit reasons?
All of them?
All of them.
I don't believe this for a second.
Yeah, yeah. The authorities came out and said that it was a case of mistaken identity.
To which my initial response was, ah, yes, the most recognizable, famous, wealthy person in the Dominican Republic was mistaken as somebody else.
Right. And that made me wonder.
I don't
because,
buy it.
And that made me wonder because I think we as sports fans, obviously we just assume the most recognizable Dominican has got to be David Ortiz. It's
yeah.
got to be him.
I would imagine it is. He's a superstar over there.
But if we cut our sports out, could there be anybody else?
Maybe. Maybe there's some drug lord that's really recognizable. I don't know. But it's
El Chapo.
Seriously, it's probably David Ortiz. And this is not just us being baseball fans. Like, I was reading articles talking about just how beloved he was there and how he felt secure walking around the country without security because he knew the people would protect him. And they did. I think we talked about this the other week.
Yeah.
They did go kick the crap out of the guy who was driving the motorcycle and crashed down the road, but it was too late. So I think he might be the most beloved person in that country. So to me, if it's a case of mistaken identity, that is the dumbest person of all time, because you know who David Ortiz is if you're from that country. And you could tell as you walk up to him that it's David Ortiz, and you shoot him in the back. I mean, come on. It's maybe it's true. Of course it could be. But to me, that seems like a lie.
Well, let's
seems
have a
like
little,
they're covering it up.
Let's have a little fun with this. Ranker.com has a list of the most famous people from the Dominican Republic. Number one is Dania Ramirez.
Who?
She is an American TV and film actress. Her credits include the roles of Maya in Heroes, Alex in Entourage, and Blanca during the last season of The Sopranos.
Okay.
Number two would be Albert Pujols. Jose.
Do they live in the Dominican or are they just Dominican?
They're just Dominican.
Okay. It's a little different.
Jose Alberto Pujols Alcantara.
That's the
same name? Is Albert Pujols' name?
Oh, that's cool.
I didn't know that. 39.
I like the last name Alcantara. It's a cool name.
I do too. Age 39, allegedly. Number three would be David Ortiz. And number four is Amelia Vega, who I don't know who she is, but whoa, she look good.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of people that I've never heard of, and then a bunch of people that don't have pictures.
Say what you will about what's going on in the DR right now. The ladies in the DR are quite something.
Yeah, the number 12th most famous Dominican Republic person of currently right now is a man named Pedro Santana, who lived from 1801 to 1864. He's still that famous. He's
wow.
number 12.
Was he like a pirate or something?
I don't know. Is a wealthy cattle rancher, soldier, politician, and dictator. Ah, there you go. Dictator.
There's the key word.
There's the
I
key
like
word.
How they bury that at the end of the list.
It's like Friday. They're like, ah, he was a cattler and a dictator.
He was a politician. And he did all these great things, and he was also a dictator.
So, yeah, the other thing I really wanted to look at was, do any of these people look like David Ortiz? And the answer is no. I mean, number 21 is Aramis Ramirez, and number two is Alfonso Soriano.
Aramis Ramirez.
Yeah, you remember him?
I do.
Number 27 is Robbie Cano. Like, none of the 30 is Miguel Tejada. And then a bunch of people that have been dead for over 100 years. Michael Pineda is number 33.
Well, did you read why they're saying mistaken identity?
No.
Because they said he was wearing white pants. So
white pants?
The cue was white pants, which David Ortiz was wearing. And I guess the person that who was
300 pounds wearing white pants
supposed to be shot was wearing white pants as well. I put air quotes around supposed to be shot because, well, it's an assassination attempt. But still, David Ortiz, who is clearly David Ortiz, and yes, I know he walked up behind him, but if you are, you know David Ortiz, right? You will know him. Or some other guy wearing white pants.
The only thing I will back this mistaken identity thing on is the amount of money to kill Ortiz, pretty cheap.
Yeah, I don't know what that kind of money means in that country. So, I mean, I don't want to say it sounds cheap to us.
It sounds super
especially
cheap.
If it's spread around those 10 people or whatever that were involved. But, you know, what was it, like 400,000 Dominican pesos? So
yeah, it was like 12 grand.
No, it was under 8 grand.
Under 8 grand?
$7,800.
Yeah, man.
And if that's spread around 10 people, that's not a lot. If that's per person, maybe that's a lot in the Dominican. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But
Anyway, crazy story. We'll keep updated on that as that goes by. Big game on right now. Boston's up 6-4 in the seventh on the Twins.
Boom.
Actually, really big series right now if you're a baseball fan, especially if you're American League East kind of person. And
the Twins had a great win yesterday.
Yeah, and me as an Indians fan trying to hold on to dear life. So this is a really good game right now. You should check that out. When we come back, I want to touch in just real quickly. It's not a big story, but I want to check in on the National League East and see how things are going from where we thought they were going. We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Way easier to negotiate trades in person than over text. Or
I know. I know. Well, Mike, you, me, and Head Chef are the only people that live in this town in that league. Good old Head Chef. I haven't seen that man in a while.
He's struggling this year, too.
I should probably go. Isn't it weird? You know, it's like we look at it and it's just that's fantasy baseball, man.
It is.
Everything changes. Like let's see, you know, Sultan's a SWAT. He's the GM.
He's in first, right?
And I feel like he bailed on GM, you know, because it was just too much. He'd been doing it for many, 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 many years. And then his team was kind of like disappearing for a little bit. And, yeah. I mean, McGee sucks. Sidewinders. Onakoho. J-Rails. I mean, those are top of the board people.
Yep.
Anyway.
Making an audible this segment.
Yeah, we are making an audible. I had totally forgotten, which is totally my fault. And we keep saying totally as many times as I can totally say totally. Edwin Encarnacion, the American League leader in home runs, was dealt from the Seattle Mariners to the New York Yankees.
Yes, he was.
It's just a small little underlying thing.
Yeah, it just happened.
It crossed over and I saw that and I was like, Mariners trade Edwin Encarnacion to the Yankees. And I was like, huh, weird. The Yanks don't either. Oh, my God. EE is leading the American League in home runs?
I know.
Classic Mariner move.
Well, so I saw the trade and I was like, why? Right?
It was the first thing.
It's the most douchey Yankee fan thing to say. But I saw the trade.
I would actually disagree, but continue.
And I went, we don't need Encarnacion. And then I saw the same thing, right? 21 home runs. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess. And then I saw what we gave up in return, and I went, oh, that's why we did the trade. It was too good to pass up.
Oh, yeah, you got him for nothing.
We got him, and the best way to do this, I'm going to pull this up real quick while I talk, is to use our good friend John Sukanik's tweet the day that this happened. He goes, oh, no, wait, that's not it. Here it is. So we just traded, and I'm going, when he's typing in all caps, I'm going to yell. Because that's what all caps means, right? So we just traded the league home run leader to the Yankees, who have a loaded farm system, for a guy we already had, already traded them, and they want to give him back. Hashtag DePoto sucks. The Mariners traded Juan Venn, or Thin, or however you want to say it,
right,
to the Yankees in part of a trade that got them some reliever I had never heard of, Nick Rumbelow, who, by the way, they cut. He was so bad. And a year later, they're like, you know what? We gave this guy up for them. We want him back. Who do you want? How about Encarnacion? Sure. Just take half the money. Yankees are like, we can do that. They're like, okay, great. Thanks. One minor leaguer who's 19 years old for the American League home run leader. Cool. Appreciate it.
Well, a couple things. I heard Buster Olney talk about this. And he mentioned the fact that you never know. You lose a prospect. They see some other people. You get some extra playing time in a different spot. Maybe you see something you like that you didn't see before. That's glass half full.
Yeah.
Number two, next year the Mariners have a payroll that's somewhere around on the books currently. Obviously, that changes. You got to sign free agents and extensions and blah, 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 blah. Next year the Mariners have a payroll on the books of around $63 million. That's the 2020 payroll for the Seattle Mariners.
Okay.
The 2021 payroll for the Seattle Mariners
is
about $42 million.
Okay.
The 2022 payroll for the Seattle Mariners is squadoosh.
Zero.
It is zero $1,000.
They have nobody on the payroll in 3 years.
The Seattle Mariners literally have nobody on the payroll in 2021. Now, that's going to change because Mitch Haniger is going to get paid of some sort, right?
Yep.
You're not letting him walk. He's going to have arbitration.
Well, with DePoto, you never know. You might trade him.
You're going to have arbitration. You're going to have all that kind of stuff. So, and Justice Sheffield, all that stuff. Like, they're going to, guys are going to get paid. Okay. Also, Kikuchi, is he just what, like a 2 year deal or something?
I guess so.
Is he off the books in 2 years?
That is weird, but.
But that's what everything online, everything that's a,
it says $0, yeah.
2021 is $0.
Look, the trade in itself is not a bad thing for the Mariners in the sense of.
No, I think it's a great thing for the Mariners. Now, to John's point, for a guy that you had that you dealt for, you know, peanuts, that is mind-boggling. And the Yanks do have a pretty decent system still, despite the fact that everyone's been called up. And anybody that can be traded will be traded, including Clint Frazier soon. Yeah,
their system is not as good as it used to be.
But that's because everybody starts now for
right.
the Yankees.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You can't bag on somebody.
It was great when it was like Gleyber Torres was the number one prospect, but he's been the starting second baseman for 2 years.
We got these guys in the minors named Gleyber Torres and Aaron Judge and Duhar and... Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Now they all start.
Domingo Herman, Clint Frazier.
Now they're all super good.
But here's the rub, right? So it's a good trade in the sense of that you want to get rid of salary. You were trading Encarnacion.
Yes.
Knew that was happening.
Yeah, you had to.
There were reports out there that the Rays made a better offer, but were less willing to give up the money or pay half the money or what the Yankees did.
Which makes sense. The Yanks are like, sure, we'll eat $10 million. Who cares?
I think it was half. I think it's like $8 million. But
he's getting 20 mil.
Oh, is he? Okay, so 10 mil.
I know because it's the Indians deal.
Apparently the Rays had a better offer but didn't want to take any money. And I think the Astros were poking around as well and reportedly, from what I saw, also had a better offer but didn't want to take as much money. So the Yankees did this for two reasons. You're getting better, right? You're adding a bat that you didn't really need, but he's good. He's going to hit home runs for you. He'll get on base by walking a lot. You know, he's already had two hits that have helped the Yankees win the last two games against Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing for them is
keeps you away from everybody
you
else.
You blocked your contenders in the playoffs from getting him.
And Astros and Rays are about as big a block as you can get.
And also Encarnacion has killed the Yankees in his career. So you especially block that from happening in the playoffs. But for the Mariners, the negative of this is I think what you want is you look at all these other teams that have successfully rebuilt quickly and they have made trades and gotten a ton of good prospects in return. Not all of them pan out, obviously, but you're giving yourself a higher percentage chance of getting them to pop. And when you see your, maybe not your best option to trade right now, but one of your best players on the trade market get one prospect who's not rated high, who you already had, that seems baffling to me. I'm assuming you could have gotten a little bit more, hell, even from the Yankees for Encarnacion if you push the deal.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. Look, I'm not going to pretend like I know what happened, but you get one player in return and some cash and some salary cap relief. That seems like a terrible deal. But I've also read reporters saying that nobody was going to give that much for Encarnacion because he was aging and it's a 1 year deal, right?
It's a rental.
He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But we've seen rentals who are aging go for much more than that. And he's leading the American League in home runs. So it just seems.
And he hit one yesterday, too.
Yep. And he hit a big single today. It seems like a fleecing of the Mariners, which seems like something the Yankees do often.
It seems like.
And if I were a Mariner fan, I would be so angry about the trades that DePoto's been pulling off.
I would agree. I think this looks really bad on the Mariner end. Although I will say this. I mean, I don't love it as a Yankee pickup. I mean, as
I have my worries about it.
As far as blocking other teams, I like that, but I worry about it as a Yankee pickup. That's a heavy right-handed lineup.
My worry is it's a lot of power hitters.
He can only play DH.
Yeah,
a lot of strikeouts, heavy right hand. He can only play DH. I mean, you maybe play him at first, but you got Luke Voit at first.
Yeah, Voit's fine. He's purely a DH. What it does is it makes Gardner not an everyday player, but he's at the end of his rope.
But I also think you need EE to play every day to keep him warm and keep him hitting bombs.
And he will.
But that means Giancarlo doesn't get days off as a fielder. You can't just plug Giancarlo as a DH Judge as a DH. Those guys are coming off injuries. They're going to need those DH days. True. And so to do that, EE's going to sit on the bench, and I think he's going to get cold. And I don't think it's going to be that great of a pickup for him.
Well,
but you're right that it does prevent Houston, Tampa, which are your biggest contenders in baseball right now.
Well, I'll say this.
To prevent you from winning a pick.
Is it a great pickup? I don't know. That's yet to be determined. Is he better than Brett Gardner?
Yes.
So then it's a great pickup, right? Okay. Brett Gardner is going to see the least field time that he's ever seen as a Yankee because they're going to put Giancarlo in left, which they already did yesterday.
Yep. Hicks in center.
And Judge is back on Friday, most likely, so he'll be in right. And so maybe Gardner will come in. Here's the thing that Boone's been doing all year, and he's been doing a masterful job of it, is as the guys are coming back, he's been rotating a ton because you have so many guys who've been playing well.
Oh, don't talk to me about Boone being a good manager.
He actually has been this year.
Stop.
But
is EE better than Luke Voit? Is Luke Voit better than EE?
Yes.
In which ways?
Always.
Always? Okay, cool.
They're very similar in power. They're very similar in RBI.
That's the question I wanted to ask
He's
you.
A higher average hitter.
Because I was kind of like on the fence.
Voit's not the best fielder, but neither is EE, so it's a wash.
Yeah. All right. So it'll be fun to check in on that trade. It'll be fun to see at the end of the year, see how EE's doing as a Yankee. And who knows, maybe we'll keep an eye on this Mariner kid that they had and didn't like, and then now they like him again. I don't know.
Yeah. Lots of puns with the word then.
When we come back, we have Fair or Foul coming up at the bottom of the hour. We also have I Want to Check In on the National League East, and Mike's got a cool story we want to get into. We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!